Amen. Amen. Isaiah 9, please. Isaiah chapter 9 in your Bibles. The lesson this morning and the message in the 11 a.m. hour and the Sunday p.m. service tonight are all going to be out of Isaiah 9, verse 6. And we're going to be breaking down the different names that are found in Isaiah 9, 6. And so let's read that out loud together. If you're there, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, ready to begin. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to read verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We prayed, so we'll get into it this morning. Title of this lesson is, He Will Be Called Wonderful. And His Name Shall Be Called Wonderful. The title of the lesson this morning, His Name Shall Be Called Wonderful. Now, before we get into it, we might say more about it later on, 11 a.m., if the Lord leads that way. I have it kind of in my side notes, but it doesn't mean we're going to spend a lot of time on it because it's in my side notes. You have your notes, and then you have your side notes, and then you have your side notes. And so then you have the things that you say that aren't in your notes at all, which is what I'm doing right now. but anyways, many Bible versions have these two words together, Wonderful Counselor, without a comma. Many Bible versions... it says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Amen? He is. I mean, what better counselor would there be than Jesus? However, the intent here is not that wonderful is an adjective of the word counselor. Okay, so I don't know what Bible version you're using. We use the King James here. There's many reasons for that. I'm not going to get into that right now. If you want to have a conversation about it, I would love to. I think I'm kind about it. I intend to be anyways. I'm not one of those guys who's mad about everything. But I do have reasons for these things. I have books, you know, if you want to read books on these things. But here the King James, as opposed to most of the other versions, has the words wonderful and counselor separated. The word wonderful is in a capital W. The word counselor is in a capital C. That's his name. His name. It's not that he's a wonderful counselor. His name is wonderful. His name is not just, it's not saying that he has a wonderful name either. No, just like his name is Jesus, his name is wonderful. There's many names given to Jesus in the Bible. And one of those names is the name Wonderful. That's far different than saying he's a wonderful counselor. That's totally different. One of them's right, one of them's wrong. Okay, he is a wonderful counselor. Don't get me wrong. He's a wonderful counselor. We'll talk about that in 11 a.m. hour. But he's wonderful. Okay, so we could point to several different occasions in the Word of God that shows a subtle but very important distinction that should be emphasized more often. And so, what is in a name? Our names mean a great deal to us. Most of us strongly identify who we are by what we're called, by the name we're called. Names make a difference to people. And some people think so much about their names, they go to court to change their names. Ron Artest changed his name to Meta World Peace. What? I don't understand. There's a lot of different situations like that, but then there are people who are ashamed of their family, and so that they go to court and change their name. Many parents agonize over choosing names for their kids. When Chloe was born, we argued about what to call her after she was born. I mean, not an argument, but you know, we kind of had this idea she was going to be called Victoria, and I wasn't too fond of the name Victoria. Do you know the story? You remember this? Okay. I wasn't too fond of the name Victoria, but I kind of liked it. But they were going to call her Tori for short. I'm like, That sounds, I don't know. I don't know about that. Victoria's okay, but Tori, you know, and so, but I was going along with it. I was like, okay, you know, Victoria, Sandy, you name the girls, I'll name the guys. You know, I want Bible names for the guys. And so then she was born, and we both looked at her like, she is not a Victoria. This is just not going to work. But then we were like, what are we going to call her? And I came up with the name Chloe. Now, Sandy says she came up with that name months and months before. I literally do not remember that conversation, so I came up with the name Chloe. I remember looking online and looking at lists of names, you know, baby names, popular baby names today. I suppose most of us at some point in our lives have complained about our names. Maybe not. Maybe you love your name. But I thought maybe I could change my name one day. And when I was younger, you know, I think it's kind of unique, so I'm good with it now. But I remember when I was younger thinking maybe I can change my name when I get married. But that goes, the girl changes her name, not the guy. So I had to learn some things there. I have thought, though, it'd be nice to have an ordinary name like Dave or Bill, you know, or Mark. But no, I'm not going to tell you my full name. Some of you already know it, but it's not Tad. So we'll do that right there. So names make a difference. In the Old Testament, different names mean different things. There's a name in the Bible, the name's Earth, Abraham, father of many nations, Isaac, laughter. And there's others that, you know, we have Bible meanings for Bible names, but the most important names would be those associated with our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 1:21, I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you. You're going to turn to some. Matthew 1:21, she will give it. When Joseph is told that Mary will give birth to a son, call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we already know this. The Lord is salvation. There are hundreds of names and titles of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Maybe you've seen a poster or a paper or a list to see all the names. Just I remember there's one church in the hallway I walked through that all the names were just listed of Jesus. It's cool to look at. I love looking at it. And the font is kind of neat and stuff like that and decorative. But hundreds of titles of Jesus Christ in the Bible. The names for Jesus reveal who he is. And the names for Jesus reveal not just who he is, but what he has done or what he wants to do for us. And 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah saw Jesus coming. He was given this truth by God. And I want to look closely at some of the names given to him found in Isaiah 9:6. Notice this was a unique child. For unto us a child is, look at the word, born. And unto us a son is what? Given. As a man, he was born as a sinless human nature. As God, he was given in human flesh. The perfect God-man. And the perfect gift of God's love. He was God's gift to a sinful world. The child whose birthday we're celebrating this time of year grew up to do what? Say that again. Die. Look at verse 6. Or verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David or upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This child would grow up one day, according to this verse, and take the government of mankind upon his shoulder, bring order and peace to the world filled with confusion and war. This will ultimately be at a second coming when he comes again. But before him taking the government upon his shoulder, he would first take the cross upon his shoulder. And he would die upon that cross. And he would bear in his body the sins of the world. The one who deserves to wear the crown of glory as King of Kings would wear a crown of thorns and would suffer and die. The kingly lion of the tribe of Judah would come first as a lamb to be slaughtered, to pay for the sins of the whole world. And until that sin had been paid for, God's righteous government cannot be established. You know what? We don't. Just because his second coming hasn't happened yet, we don't have to wait until then before we can enjoy his reign. And we can turn our lives over him today. He can reign in your life. He can be Lord of your life. He can rule in your life. He can direct your life. He can guide your life if you'll allow him to. And when we do that, we can experience all that is expressed in his name right here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Because you're not going to experience, just because he is these things, he is wonderful, he is counselor, he's a mighty God, he's everlasting Father, he's a Prince of Peace. He is those things, whether you allow him to be in your life or not. But you don't get to experience those things about him in your life until you allow him to be Lord of your life. And so, just look at the name Wonderful. It seems there's little wonder in the lives of people today. Talked to somebody yesterday. He just was a very unhappy person. Just no joy, no peace, no happiness whatsoever. Just a miserable, hopeless. I walked away sad, very sad. No purpose. With all that life has to offer, people are fed up with it. People are bored with it. People aren't satisfied with it. It's odd that in a world filled with all the electronic gadgets that we have, you'd think that life would be a little more exciting, or, you know, there'd be more fulfillment out of it, but it's just plain empty. With all these sayings that we have at our disposal, I don't know, because of all the electronic gadgets and things like that, life becomes actually more boring. People are getting harder to please. The one thing I think most parents hate to hear from their children is, "I'm bored," and something's wrong. I got this article here I'm going to read to you. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses, smaller families, more conveniences, less time. We have more degrees, less sense, more knowledge, less judgment, more experts, more problems, more medicine, less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions, reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered our outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. Cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. Conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We learn to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast foods, slow digestion, big men, small character, steep profits, shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. Wow. It goes on. Remember, spend some time with your loved ones because they're not going to be around forever. Say a kind word to someone who looks up to you because that little person soon will grow up and leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you because that's the only treasure you can give with your heart. It doesn't cost a cent. Remember to say "I love you" to your loved ones, but most of all, mean it. Remember to hold hands and cherish the moment. Give time to speak, give time to share. Always remember, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that we take our breath, that but by the moments that take our breath away. When was the last time you spent time with God? When was the last time you spent time in prayer? When was the last time you spent time in the Word of God? When was the last time you spent time telling somebody about Jesus Christ? This is what we ought to be doing with our lives. I like that. I like that. So I want to answer the question, what is wonder? Wonderful. Here's a word used, some words used to describe wonder. Amazement, surprise. Think about Jesus Christ now. Astonishment, awe, admiration, bewilderment, worship. The Hebrew word Isaiah used here means to separate or to distinguish, to stand apart. In the Old Testament, it is translated marvelous, hidden, too high, too difficult, a miracle. A basic meaning would be being unique and being different. Now, when we consider what the word wonder means, we come to this question. How is Jesus Christ wonderful? Just to say his name is to answer the question. Everybody, humor me for a second. Say the name Jesus. Just say, that is just wonderful that we get to say that name. It's just a wonderful name all by itself. Everything about Jesus Christ should make us say, I will now turn and look at this wonderful, great person. I mean, every aspect of him is wonderful. Think about his birth for a second this morning, all right? Just imagine God coming to, just try to picture. I know I'm going to say things you already know, you've heard since you were in kindergarten and Sunday school, but stop and try to imagine it for the first time. Think about it for the first time. Jesus Christ, God's son, God in the flesh, coming to earth as a man. Isn't that wonderful? Sing it. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And we sang that verse and not this one because I don't know that everybody knows these words of this one, possibly do. Christ by highest heaven and Lord. Christ the what? Everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Talking about the Godhead. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. His birth is wonderful. Shepherds shared the news of the birth of Jesus in Luke 2:18. The Bible says, and all who heard it wondered at the things, which were told them by the shepherds. Go to 1 Timothy 3:16, please. 1 Timothy 3:16. Listen, believe me, it was something to wonder at, the birth of Jesus Christ. I would have loved to have been there. I'm looking forward to getting a rewind on some of these sayings in heaven when we, a rewind view of some of these things that happened in the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Brother David, would you read that, please? 1 Timothy 3:16.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God, who manifests in the flesh, justified in the spirit, king of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
No question about it. Christ was wonderful in his birth. But he was also, without question, wonderful in his life. that he lived on earth. Listen, whatever Jesus touched, he blessed. He changed. He made wonderful. This is the wonder of his life. Whatever he touched took on new substance and new meaning. Just think of all the miracles that Jesus performed. The Bible says in the book of John that all the things that Jesus said and did, the books could not contain them. In 3 years, we don't have everything recorded that Jesus did. We have all that we need to know. But, I mean, turning water into wine, the healings, walking on water, the raising from death to life, and the changed lives of individuals, the changed lives of his followers. We can go on and on. When Jesus preached, he preached with authority. He bewildered people. At 12 years old, the people were just dumbfounded by his wisdom. And Christ's message was firsthand truth, not secondhand tradition. John 8:26, turn there if you would. John chapter 8, verse 26. Bible says here, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Now go back just a page or two to John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. Bible says there, it is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. No question. Jesus Christ is wonderful. He is wonderful in his birth, he's wonderful in his life, and he's wonderful in his death. Consider just for a moment the wonder of his death. It's kind of weird to say it that way. Maybe you've never really thought about his death as a wonder. But Jesus Christ came to earth to what? To die. He came to die. He came knowing he was going to die. He was willing to die. If anyone had a right to live, it was Jesus Christ. But he came to die. Even the death on the cross, the Bible says. There's a poem, while might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. It's a song, actually. When Christ the mighty maker died, for man the creature's what? Sin. Think of the wonder of the cross. Christ's death. He willingly and lovingly surrendered his life. He took on him the sins of the whole world, your sin, my sin, in his own body. What wonderful love. That is wonderful love that he would do that for you and for me. And no wonder he's called wonderful. We could go on and talk about further about the wonder of his resurrection and his ascension. And his intercession for us right now, even as we speak. What a wonderful Savior he is. And I'm doing a pathetic job in scratching the surface of how wonderful our Christ is. But I want to talk about how we can share in this wonder. Maybe we should look at why we don't share in this wonder more often. Think about the world we live in. Things in this world that hinder us from having the right viewpoint, having the right perspective, living our lives the way that we ought to live our lives. I mean, we live in a mechanical world. We're living in a world that is very impersonal, right? We are. Most people look at life through laws of science or instead of looking at life through a gracious lawgiver. God's law is love. His gospel is peace. He shows grace. We lose sight of the fact that we're made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. Is that not a wonderful Savior? It's awesome. So we must have a personal world if life is to have any meaning. When life loses its meaning, life loses its wonder. So we become, what's the result of all that? We kind of become machines. We are individuals, though. Another reason we fail to share in the wonder of Christ is this commercial world we live in. Time after Thanksgiving, before Christmas, How commercial is our world right now? Controlled society asking two questions. Does it work? Does it pay? When will we realize that our life is not about the things that we can have or the things that we can get, but our life is about what we've been given by Jesus Christ and how to share that good news? Money can't buy that. But that article I read earlier just made me come up with this thought. Making a living has replaced making a life. And another reason we miss out on sharing the wonder of Christ is we live in a busy world. Little time to pause, a little time to think, a little time to contemplate, a little time to wonder, a little time to enjoy a time with God. I mean, we get so busy that we hurry through our time alone with the Lord. We get so busy that we might have time to read our Bibles, we might have time to pray. And if we do read our Bibles, and if we do pray, we're thinking about other things because we're so busy. We stayed up late watching TV, so it's hard to get up early and read our Bibles and to pray, spend time with God. We boast about the quantity of our activity without admitting the quality of our experience. Another reason we miss out on sharing the wonder of Christ, we live in an artificial world, a fake world. Most people live on substitutes and don't even know it. Millions of bored people depend on manufactured experiences to rescue them from dull existence. There's a huge increase in these reality TV shows. Everybody, wants to live vicariously through movies and through entertainment and these virtual reality video games. I mean, there are people who their lives are all about the next episode in a TV series. They dress the way these characters are dressed. They act the way they say the same things that these fake individuals are living on TV. I mean, they're literally. I mean, you can walk through. I mean, I see it at the bus barn that I work at on occasion, where people are talking about the next episode, the next thing. This is something that they're intrigued with. They have all the notifications on their phone, and they live vicariously through just something that's not real. And then they want to be that person, and then society patterns after that, and they try to manufacture it based off of those things. The next saga in a movie series or something like that. People living on substitutes. So I want to talk about then, just for the next few moments that we have, how we can share in the wonder of Jesus. I want us to realize we ought not to be caught up in the wonder of what's going on in the world or the so-called fake wonder of what's going on in your favorite NFL team or the wonder of what's going on in politics or the wonder of what's going on with what money can give you or these kind of things. But there's something that we ought to be intrigued with Jesus Christ. We ought to be obsessed with Jesus Christ. Because that's real. So how do we share in this? Well, of course, begin a relationship with him. I know I'm talking to Sunday school crowd, but deal with your sin. Say, what do you mean deal with your sin? Realize that you're a sinner headed for a devil's hell. Realize Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. Put your faith and trust in him. Call upon him to be your Savior. Trust in Christ alone as the one who died for you. Listen, he died in your place. Amen? And when that relationship begins, you're born again spiritually. Wonder begins when you receive Jesus Christ in your life. Have you experienced the forgiveness of sins? Have you experienced the salvation that Jesus Christ has to offer to you? That's where it begins. When you begin a whole new way of living, the life of Christ living in you. Galatians 2:20, turn there please, Galatians 2:20. My hands are so cold this morning. Can't even turn to my Bible. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who, what are these words? Loved me and gave himself for me. When you're born in God's family, you can then go on to the next step of sharing the wonder of your life, wonder of Christ in your daily life. That's another way we can experience that. Walk in obedience to him. When you walk in obedience to him, there's no substitute. There's no substitute for daily communication with God. There's no substitute for spending that time with God in prayer. Hopefully you know what that is like. If not, all you got to do is pray to start. All you got to do is sit down, shut the world off, read your Bible. It sharpens you. It helps you. Your eyes begin to see what he sees. You begin to kind of hear what he hears. You begin to have a love for what he's passionate about. Your values change as the Bible sharpens you, and you have an ever-deepening love for Jesus Christ. It opens up new windows. It opens up new doors for you. Your life begins to fulfill the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I love this passage of Scripture. The Bible says here, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love God this morning? Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isn't that wonderful? Wonder is a liberating experience. Hope you look forward to being with him in glory. Go to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2. Or verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I love it. Is it? Amen. Brother Joel's going to join the choir this afternoon. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Tell me that's not wonderful. That is amazing. We'll see with perfect vision. We'll love with sinless hearts. That'll be a wonderful day. You know, the glory of heaven is the wonder of Christ. On the other hand, the tragedy of hell is the absolute absence of wonder. Darkness, torment, dullness, monotony, eternal loneliness, separation from God, eternal purposelessness, pain, suffering. That's what hell is like. If you walk with Christ by faith, you know the joy of wonder in your life. Not that we're special. Not that we're extraordinary. Not that we're wonderful. We're not. We're not. But Jesus is. Amen? He's wonderful. And when he works in your life, he makes your life wonderful because his name is what? Wonderful. This wonderful Jesus, the one whose birthday we'll be celebrating this time of year, give him the wonder and worship he so rightly deserves. All right, let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this reminder of who you are. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live in a way that's pleasing to you, that you'd be glorified and honored. Lord, we love you. Thank you for love for us. Be with us in the next hour, that you'd be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.